Today's broadcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/CFRN. Over 85,000 titles. Choose from mystery, romance, religion, science, technology, business, New York Times bestsellers, even children's books. You name it, Audible has it. With 85,000 titles to choose from, you're sure to find the perfect audiobook for yourself or to give as a gift, and it's absolutely free. Just point your browser to audibletrial.com/CFRN. That's audibletrial.com/CFRN. And become a part of the audiobook revolution by downloading your free audiobook today. audibletrial.com/CFRN.
Hey, trader, what if I told you there was an indicator set that worked well in all markets, from gold to soybeans to E-minis? What if I told you it worked well across all time frames? Would you believe me? You don't have to. Test drive our platform and indicators with live data for a full week and see how CFRN can change your trading forever. No strings attached, no credit card required. Get started today at www.cfrn.net.
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network. Welcome to Prosperity for God's People, brought to you by ChristianTraders.com, the Internet's fastest growing Christian investment community, created just for you, the Christian investor. Everybody's happy. Striving for excellence in Christian talk radio, excellence in the world financial markets, and most of all, excellence in your personal walk with God.
Broadcasting live
from the CFRN studios in beautiful downtown Phoenix, Arizona.
Good afternoon, traders, and welcome back to the CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast. This is the daily broadcast of indeterminate length, where we discuss all things E-Mini, along with some really big ideas on the finer points of trading gold, bonds, crude, sugar, the euro, and even T-bills. Joining us today from our studios in Boston, Mr. Michael Bork. From our trading desk in Chicago, Mr. Burton Schlichter. And from our studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, Mr. David Williams. Now, to get things started, let's go to our host and founder in Studio A, overlooking South Mountain, America's largest city park. Here's Dwayne.
Hey, good afternoon, friends. Today is Wednesday, 13th day of April. Let's have a look at the numbers. The Dow is down 5.5 points, S&P is down about 1.5 points, and the comp is positive to the tune of 10. Let's have a quick look at the charts, see what we've got. If you're tuned in live, the chart in front of you right now is the S&P E-mini. It is the hourly chart. Been waiting 2 days for dynamic resistance to print. Let me scroll back just to give you an idea. The last time we printed dynamic resistance on the hourly was Friday. It held at a weekly zone, 33.34. We were flat Sunday night in the 26.27 area. We traded off of that doji on Monday. You can read about that on the blog. We traded down through dynamic support here. So the next step is to find some dynamic resistance. We never got it on Monday. We never got it on Tuesday. At the stroke of midnight on Wednesday, we printed here. We spiked right above it to the weekly zone at 1617. And as you can see here on the hourly chart, we've now traded back to the 1309, 1310 weekly zone, and we are now awaiting dynamic support. Low yesterday was 1305 and a quarter. The lowest we've traded so far today, 1307.75. So the market is staged to potentially challenge this low from yesterday, put in a double bottom, turn up. If the market continues down, the next, and I might add the final weekly trading zone that we have, is down at 92.93. So that's about 18 points below us, 17, 18 points below us. And that's a pretty good drop. Still 2 days left in the week. Now there is a historical 96% probability the price will not close below 92.93. So, if we get down into this area, then the potential for a long trade on the upside is quite good. But we haven't gotten there yet. In fact, this hourly candle, we want to see where that's going to close. Let's go look at a 30-minute chart, see how that looks. This is the opening range of the first 30-minute candle. We finally closed below that, and we discussed in the live trading room this morning the potential of selling the open of the next candle, and as we can see here, that ended well. Okay. Let's go to our 10,000 contract chart. Two very nice moves this morning. Michael caught the first one in the live trading room. It was a zone-to-zone trade, and it pulled up short right here, short of making the target, right there. What the world? What is that? Why did it stop there, run all the way back up, and then make the trip, as expected, all the way to the zone? Let's go look. Here's a sentiment chart. I posted this last night on the blog, and I pointed out that back on Friday, midday, our sentiment indicator went bearish and has remained bearish through Monday and through Tuesday. Now, I wrote last night that if we could trade above 1314 on the overnight session and hold that, then the sentiment indicator would in fact turn bullish. And it did, but only briefly. We traded above 1314, we went bullish, but then on that pullback, we took it out, and we're now testing this trend line that's drawn across the bottom of the candles from yesterday. And we talked about all that in the trading room, about how testing this trend line, testing this weekly zone might, in fact, present a good opportunity to be long the move back up. But the question I had posed is, what happened here? What thwarted the move down? Well, can't say that this thwarted it, but we were prepared for it right here. Okay. When price pulled back to the sentiment indicator, it bounced. It bounced all the way to 1316 and a quarter. Okay. Kind of a reverse of what happened yesterday as it pulled back. See this pullback, and then the drop. Okay. Up here you can see the pullback and the rally. Down here you can see the pullback and the drop. Okay, that just repeats over and over. You can watch that happen. So we knew in this trade that we had the potential for that area. We talked about it on the way down. That could be an area that the market might have some difficulty getting through. It did. Came back. Did the whole thing over again. Okay. printed dynamic resistance inside of the weekly trading zone on the 10K chart. Price got on the backside of the MA1. Price then got below the BBC. We then got a bearish cross. And away she goes, right down to the weekly zone at 1309/1310. So that's our day so far. That's how everything's shaped up. The YM has pretty much just followed along. It went from zone, where it printed dynamic resistance, to within one tick. Got within 1 point on the YM. Not on the ES, it's a tick, but over here it's a point. 1 point of the weekly zone at 195. Shrink this down, you can get a little better idea. There you go. See, on the Globex session, we spiked above it a little bit. But once we crossed under this morning, the pullback, drop, pullback, drop. This is where we turned back up before we rolled over at the zone. And then this was just a beautiful move here from 260 all the way down to 196. Again, we missed that by one tick. Michael, are you with us?
Yes.
Good morning.
Yes, I am.
How are you?
Good morning. Good afternoon.
With that new fancy intro, I think I should just expect you to be there and just go straight to you as soon as I break the airwaves.
That is fancy.
It is.
I like it.
I had, right before that played, I had the girl over here. She had one of those napkin things around my collar, and she was like, you know, doing the makeup thing, you know, with the little brush. And anyway, I watched too much TV. That's what
yes.
The news guys do before they go on.
that's what the TV face is now, isn't it?
Oh, that's right. This is radio. I forgot. Okay, so
yes.
You heard me just do a running, rambling commentary of everything that's transpired. What would you like to add to that?
Did you mention that I attempted to do a zone-to-zone trade this morning, and I shorted up at 15. Hang on. 13.1575 on the first bearish cross. I shorted up there with 2 points risk. And you see where you have that little blue line drawn?
Yeah. See, I didn't tell him exactly what happened, but I just kind of pointed this whole thing out. And I told them why the market... I did show them why the market turned up there. I went over to the sentiment chart and showed them.
Sentiment indicator. Now, some of our partners in the training session or in the live trading session, you know, they jumped in and they actually took a lot more profit on that than I did. I stayed in it until we had a bullish cross over there. Right there on your chart. That's when I moved my stop. I had moved my stop up right above that bar right there. It's right above where you're pointing, and it came in and it got my stop. If I had left my stop, the original 2 point stop, I'd have made it zone to zone. But as it was, I didn't make it all the way zone to zone. I got out over here with some profit.
Now let me say this, guys, because this is a 10,000 contract chart. There's no element of time involved here. Okay, this has to do with volume. This move from here to here took a little time. That this move here, in fact, time-wise, how long did that take? Let's see. Oh, we'll call that 8:40. And we'll call this 9:15. We'll call that 9:50. Actually, I guess they were about the same amount of time. For some reason, this move seemed to unfold much quicker. Did it seem that way to you?
Yeah, it did seem that way to me, but I wasn't in it, so you know, if I were in it, it might have.
It would seem like days.
It might have had a little more time pressure on it for me.
That's probably what it was. Yeah, just pointing out, guys, that you got to look at time across here when you're using a volume chart, okay? Because most people are accustomed to watching a 1 minute, a 3 minute, a 10 minute, an hourly, and so you know that you're going to get force-fed new information at some predetermined time interval, whatever you select. Even if nothing's changed in the market, it's going to make you think you're getting new information. You could be locked in a one-point range, and you just keep printing that same candle over and over because the time goes by. And I'm not saying that that's not an important thing, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't look at time charts. I'm just saying that if you're going to switch over to a volume chart, or even more, or if you're going to also use in combination a volume chart and a range chart like this. This is a six-tick range, not your typical tick chart. I know a lot of people have traded with tick charts, and a lot of people like to trade tick charts based on Fib numbers, 89, 144, 233, 610, numbers like that. This is not that kind of tick chart. This is a range chart. And this type of charting, unlike Japanese candlesticks, which go back hundreds of years, the range chart was first created. I was reading an article yesterday by some guy in the 90s, and I think he was in Brazil. He was trading some... I should have shared that article yesterday, because I don't have it handy right now. He was trying to figure a way to... There was he was trading some markets, some commodity markets that would go flat for like days on end, and he needed something to alert him when the range had changed. And so... and now most charting platforms make it available. It's a pretty common thing. But where on this chart, every candle represents 10,000 contracts changing hands. Now, 10,000 contracts can change hands in a minute or in an hour. Time still marches across down here, but up here, it's volume. Here, Michael, explain the concept of range on each of these candles. Tell them what that means, please.
The way that a range chart works is it's predetermined how big every bar is going to be. You know, you determine how big you want each bar to be. In this particular chart, every bar is going to be six ticks. Now, I don't mean six ticks meaning six transactions, which is the way ticks are normally referred. What I mean is it's going to be six monetary ticks or six numerical ticks, like from 40 to 46.
Yeah, and because this is a YM chart, this actually, here, a six-tick range translates into a six-point candle.
Right. Or $30 per candle.
$30
per contract.
Candle. Yeah, there you go, per contract.
That's pretty much it. Now, I'll to take it one step further, just to... further clarify the difference between a six-tick range chart and a six-tick chart. A six-tick chart is going to paint the bar for every six transactions. Every six transactions. Now, those transactions could be 1,000 contracts, or they could be one contract. Now, they're a minimum of one, and they could be any number. But it's six transactions. All right. So the range chart is only going to be six ticks, numerical ticks in height, and a regular tick chart or transaction chart is going to be six transactions. Okay, that's the difference for everyone that's listening. Let me look around here.
Oh, my order got rejected. I tried to sell 1206 on a stop right there.
And I'm going to try to sell at Russell right here, too, at 21.8. If I can find my dime.
I'm just trying to show you guys that on the bottom of this candle was, well, here I can still show you the example. The bottom of this candle was 12, let me get everything back. Okay. The low of this candle was 20208. So I wanted to see a couple ticks below the low of this bearish close, 1206, and then that would have triggered me in. Okay. I was just putting that on for an example so you could see how it played out over here. Because once this candle is going, based on where it opens, okay, it runs to the high, runs to the low. If it closes bullish, you know where it's going to be. If it closes bearish, you know where it's going to be. And so you can set your order to trigger right above. Unlike here, on one of these candles, you have no idea where that candle is going, where the next candle is going to open, or where this candle is going to close, because it's going to close wherever price is once 10,000 contracts have been traded. So there's elements of time, there's elements of volume, which is what this chart is reflecting, and then there is this chart, which is purely a reflection of a change in price. So we have changes in time, changes in volume, changes in price. And that's what this range chart is reflecting. It's a change in price. And so momentum, here was the pullback. This could have been sell on a limit at 213. Instead, I waited. And the order I was attempting to put on was 206. And the only reason it didn't trigger was because price had it was one tick above when I clicked it, and then it traded 1205, so it wouldn't accept the 206 because price had already traded below it. And so now we're down to 203. So, I mean, it's not a big issue. There would be 4 points in the trade had we got triggered in right now. And the target I would have had for the trade would be this low right here, and or the zone. Now that's on the very small time frame, but you can see the pullback quite well here on the 500 tick. I mean, this is kind of nice. Let's see. If we put a little trend line there, not that you really need one, but we pull right back to the BBC, put a little tail up above it. Love it when that happens. And so here you would have been selling 1213 on a limit, and you would currently be at 12199. And you know, for some people, that would be a good day's work. That would be where we're at now. That would be, you know, you'd have 10 points in this trade on the YM. I realize that's only equivalent to 1 point on the ES. It's still $50 on one contract, times the multiple of whatever contracts it is that you comfortably and reasonably trade and are able to manage your risk on. So, just a little move. I would expect it to find some kind of support here at the 90.95, or at least consolidate. Have we been there before? We have. Here, yesterday, and here, and here. So one, we have three occasions. The last three times price touched that area, it acted as good support. No, make that four times.
They're knocking on the door, Lane.
Hey, there he is. Hey. Mike Reed, how are you, buddy?
I'm fine. How you doing?
Good, man. Tell us, what do you think here? We headed lower?
I think, well, he opened it, gapped up, at a gap and turn down, and I think we have that.
Let me go to my gap chart, Mike, half. Since you brought that up. Let me
1307 and a half on the ES has been a multiple lows.
Here's the gap.
That on the Dow.
Can you see that, Mike?
Well, let me bring your charts up here.
Now this black line down the middle, that's just the mm-hmm. day separator.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, if you look across there, yes, Monday, got Monday low.
Yep.
Monday's low. Yeah.
Now that's a really good point right there. That's this high
right
came
there.
In right at Monday's low. Yep.
Yeah. those are marked up on the charts, and that reversal, gap up reversal in the first, right on the open, and then a low in the first 45 minutes, it was a turn up, and there was support at, it's kind of pivotal, that area, 13.10 and a half, 13.11 area, and they bounced off the 10 and a half, made a rising wedge on the way up, and that broke down to 13.14, that broke, and then got us down to test yesterday's late low right before settlement. We were down there several times, actually. We still have a Fed beige book, I think, today.
Yeah, the beige book's due out at 2 o'clock in an hour and a half.
Hi, Michael.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Very good, thanks.
Good.
So, yeah, there were some good opportunities already, and I kind of think they want to hold this, not fall apart before the that Fed thing today. And 07 and a half is the level that I'm watching that down there for make or break. 20, we're on 2300 on the NASDAQ.
Michael, I need you to take the charts. I just completely lost my charts.
All right, I'll grab them. Hang on a second.
I was going to extend that trend line and...
You're going to have to make me an organizer. Or I guess, you know what? Can I take them? You can force them to me.
Well, I'll make you an organizer as well.
Okay, then I can just take them.
Lord knows what I'll run into when I try to... I don't know why. That's just odd that they crashed. You know, I got an awful lot of stuff running here, so... But, let me
all
make
right.
you an organizer.
So you guys see my Russell chart?
Yeah. Now we got it.
All right. And my NASDAQ. Let me slide this one over here.
All right. You're an organizer now so that you can answer questions, and, I will quietly hear in the background. I'll be here, but I'm just going to try to launch my charts again.
Okay. Sorry, I missed everything you said after organizer. When you make me an organizer, there's like 5 seconds where I don't hear anything, where it actually does the switch. Did you say you were going to go reboot or something?
No, I'm just going to try to launch my charts. They should just launch.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. All right. So we're all good. Going to slide my Russell over a little bit. Actually, you know what? Why don't I make this a little smaller?
Mike Reed, we're back trading the Russell again.
We are. Okay.
We are.
I know Michael is moving. He's trading it.
Yep. It's moving. It's moving. And I like it. I like it. You know.
Small caps are decimating.
It's given us a lot of opportunity. I'll say that. I've only placed a couple of trades on it today. I placed a couple of trades that didn't fill. I had one break-even trade right here that I should have just let go, but I didn't because I was short the ES at the time. I didn't like being short the ES and long the Russell at the same time. And then we put the resistance dot right above us. I took this short over here. And I had an order on to take this short right here, but I took it off as soon as these green dots printed down here.
Do you remember the old Value Line contract?
Value Line?
Yeah. Kansas City Value Line. From way back.
No. I don't know.
Isn't that a newsletter or something?
No, Value Line charting. They used to have you get your charts by mail every Sunday. or Value Line charts. So that paper chart, a booklet of charts on a stock.
How do you get them?
Oh, yeah.
How
I
do
remember.
You get them on
a
Sunday?
I used to get those. S&P 500 one that I used to get.
How did you get them on a Sunday, Mike?
Not Sunday. Come Monday morning, I think they were printed. Like the Wall Street Journal always had special delivery on.
Okay, like the Barron's sort of. You know, a weekly thing like Barron's.
So they had their own, it wasn't through the U.S. Postal Service, they had their own delivery route, I think. But they get it charts by in a booklet, and then once a week. But there was a value line index also that was traded for a while, very thinly traded. But, and there still is a value line index. Small caps I still keep track of, but they don't, I guess they don't trade it anymore.
All right. Yeah, so I'm looking here. This was the Russell. This was my short opportunity right here, and I didn't take it. And over here on the ES, you can see Dwayne was talking about this earlier. This is the 2100 tick. He was talking about the 10,000, and this is where I went short. I shorted right over here. Pretty early on this morning, I took this short.
Okay.
And wrote it all the way down to here. And my target was one more tick. And then it came back up. I brought my stop in up here. And once we had a bullish cross right here, I had brought my stop down to the top of these bars right here. So I locked in some profit. And then it went back up to exactly where my stop I had originally. Once it got way down here, I brought my stop down to 15 and a half. And then it moved all the way down. But anyway, so we're consolidating a bit here in the zone. 1310, 1309. I'm not even sure what we have.
I've come to believe that that's a really good way to get stomped out. Just move your stomp to break even.
Yeah.
I say that jokingly, yeah, well, tongue in cheek, but you know.
It didn't actually stop
me.
It's
like a magnet.
Russell trade. It was here, Burke.
Hey, there's the guy on the desk in Chicago. Ah, he waltzes in, fashionably late. Oh, yeah.
You're going to turn me into a Russell trader.
Let me wander over and see what the CFRN guys are up to.
Mike Reed.
Hi, Bert.
Hey, what's shaking? I saw your video over the weekend. Oh. Good call on that.
Oh, thanks.
Good analysis.
I had a few extra minutes. I was surprised I got done. 12 minutes.
I was wrong.
I got the date. The date was wrong. I didn't know until after. Yeah.
That's
I was thinking we were in March already.
Plus or minus 1 month.
Yeah.
I mean May. I think I said May. I said May 11th.
Yeah. That's all right. You were foreshadowing what was to come. But yeah, that was good stuff.
It's all good. This Russell trade moved pretty nicely here too.
Yeah.
05 area on the ES. We have an outside day breaking that already.
Yeah,
look at it go.
Now that YM trade that I failed to enter, that I tried to enter on, that I didn't get into, that just traded through the zone at 90.95. That's if my charts reopen to the right zones. Let me see. Is that right? Yeah, 190.90. Yeah, okay. Yep. All right. That's the deal. Got my charge back.
So this thing's really moving down. We got quite a bit of volume today compared to what we have been having. But over a million in volume so far.
Yeah, Mike Reed, you're the short specialist here, man. So tell us, our next zone all the way down is at 1292/93. That's the lowest zone we have for the week. 96% of the time, we don't trade outside of that lowest or highest zone. So do you think we could see 92.93 this week?
That's possible. I got, we're awfully oversold and do a bounce, I think, off of 1300.
Okay.
We're just below. At 1300, right around 1350 to 1300. And then, slightly below that, right around 1297, 96. That'd be the lowest, I think, Dwayne. That's 10 points under here. They can't bounce back from that. In bad shape. Something interesting this morning is the VIX was below. It got down to 1620, I believe, which is lower than it was 2 weeks ago when we were at 1335. Sentiment just got too bullish here, right off a half a day off of a low. So we could easily probably make that down to 1300 to 1296 area, zone down there. Then that'll be really key, I think. NASDAQ is coming apart here, too. It was trying to hold the 2300. It was a light high bounce there. But a gap day is a trend day so far. I know we still got the Fed stuff, but still, we're just selling bounces today until something changes. We got stair step down going on the Dow cash, and that's what we're watching on that.
Well, the low of yesterday, 1305 and a quarter. That's kind of what I'm watching here right now to see if I could.
1 second, man.
That could be a bottom right there. Was that a Globex low?
The 25? 05, that was yesterday's day session low.
Yeah, okay, that was early morning. Yeah, 5 1/4, right. Okay.
Yeah, 5 1/4 yesterday.
All right. So, yeah, that gives way, guys. Then Mike's 1,300 round number there. And then below that, on the hourly today, since the open, it's been red candle. We got nothing but red candles. All the way down.
All the way there.
All right, Mike. Well, I know you don't have a lot of time, but I know David always likes to say hello to you when you're on. And so hang tight.
Okay.
And we will get Mr.
Awesome.
Excitement right here on the radio.
Good morning, Dwayne.
Good morning, David.
And good morning, Michael. Both Michaels.
Good morning, David.
Hi, David.
How are you, Michael? Mike?
I'm good.
Good.
Michael's good.
Whichever
Michael.
One, Mike and Michael.
Either one's fine.
And Bert, are you there?
I am.
Bert.
Okay, he wanders in and out, you know.
David's got me busy here this morning.
Well, I'm trying. You know. These brokers, they've got to get down to business.
Yeah.
anyway,
you guys just put out an alert on T bonds, right? T bills.
Well, we did. We actually had earlier today. I had texted it to Bert, and then he and I talked about it a little bit. But the T bond market today, when it was trading at about 119.01. We put out a forecast that it was going to advance up to 119.16, doing that. And then there's higher targets as well in the forecast. But by the time he, you know, got it and was able to put it together and send it out, the market suddenly exploded up, and we, you know, the market already ran to those targets.
Right.
So that's unfortunate. But that can happen. It was an indication. It was a very good indication. We're relatively new to T-bonds, but I'm pretty comfortable now that we have the T-bond market, pretty covered with regard to our approach. Not 100% on it, but I'm, you know, this is another example of the market doing what we thought it would, so that helps us. Anyway, so it does have higher prices, and we're going to possibly, after the show, we'll put together a potential trade for the remainder of this, which would have the market going up to higher prices. In fact, it's already reached some of those, or perhaps it has on the upside. I don't have the forecast right in front of me. we also, yesterday on your program, talked about gold, and that gold was, we put out a forecast yesterday for gold, and I mentioned it on your program, that gold was putting in a bottom for an advance of 17 points and off the low that they made yesterday. Yesterday's low was 1445. If you add 17 to that, that brings you up to 1462. Let me just make sure that math is right. 1462, and today's high has been 1463.70. So they completed the gold trade, and we put that out on the messages as well. It was slightly aggressive because the trade, the turning point came one day early. The actual on-time day was today, but there was enough indications yesterday that the move might be underway, so we put it out, and basically, if you wanted to be aggressive, you could just stay with the position as long as they continue to close hourly above 1445. So, you know, if somebody did take that, and maybe some of the listeners did, I don't know, the people who are on the list with Bert from Daniel's Trading, they can get on the list for free. That's a good example of a trade that, you know, you probably could have made $800, $1,000 out of that. The whole swing that we're forecasting was $1,700, but I think it was reasonable to make half that out of that trade. So,
Mike Reed, do you ever trade, or have you ever traded T-bills?
Not T-bills. No, not
today's
T-bills.
Session is testing $1,306.00 downside. Go ahead.
Oh, well, no, you go ahead.
Okay. I don't trade them either, honestly. I may begin trading them, but I tell people how to trade them. No. Don't do as I do. Do as I say. I wouldn't touch those things with a 10-foot pole. No, but here's what you should do. No. I will probably trade those. People have asked for the 10-year. We're doing it on the 30-year. Apparently, the 10-year is the really big market that people like in the bond. So now I have to work up on the 10-year and see if we can do that. But we may do both. We may do both the 10 and the 30. We'll see. But anyway, once we get that down and we're comfortable with it, I would be comfortable trading the T-bonds. It's a very fast-moving market. You'd be surprised how fast that thing can pop. And there's a lot of interest in it as well. The interest rate market is big. So I don't know if it's bigger than the S&P. It might be, though. It might be a bigger market overall, interest rates, than the S&P. Now, currencies, I think, are the largest of all because of just the nature of the currency market, the fact that this is, you know, currency for each one of these countries. And
Mike Reed, you got to roll. See you later, Mike.
Oh, okay, Mike. See you later, Mike.
He already rolled? He's out of here.
Okay, he rolled.
He had to go to the dentist.
Okay. Well, I hope he wasn't in any pain. That can nothing like quite like dental pain. Anyway, yeah, we'll be trading those markets individually ourselves. I have traded in the euro. We've put out some trades on the euro and in gold. We do have longer-term positions in gold and silver, particularly the silver market. In our report that we put out, many years ago, that I sent to Dwayne Reeves of the radio program, that report indicated that we believed, if I remember properly, because it was put out in 2000 or 2001, that we were forecasting a huge move up, that the bottom was in, and that we didn't give a price for the upside, but we felt that silver was likely going to be the leader in this big bullish run, and it has turned out that silver is the leader. And there's a reason for that, and one of the reasons is because the silver market had the Hunt Brother, for those of you who are old enough, the Hunt Brother corner on the market. Corners don't happen very often, and by that I mean, you know, once in a lifetime or twice in a lifetime, you'll see a market that really gets cornered well. Cornering means that a small group of interests controls the market. It's very rare because, as we've talked about so many times on the program, it's extremely difficult to control the market. All this talk about the floor traders run it up to this number and then they run it down to this number, it's a bunch of nonsense. The markets are too big, and by that I mean on orders of magnitude, for any one person or group to control. And I've made many examples on your program before showing real-life examples of that being the case, and there's 100 of them. One of the ones regarding silver is, of course, Warren Buffett getting into the market with nearly $1 billion of his own money when silver was at $8, $7.50, and all of his followers getting in at that time as well. So there was literally probably billions of dollars that jumped in the market right there, and yet the market continues to go down to $4 and even $3.85. before it finally reversed, and we had come out with a report right around those price levels. But one of the reasons that we think that silver was going to show the most strength is because of the Hunt Brother deal in the 80s, in the early, and I think it was 1980, when they ran, somehow the market just exploded up, however they did it or however it happened. It's considered a corner on the market. And it the way that they did that, the way that that happened, meant that the next bull run in silver would tend to be very powerful. And it, what happened was that, it, like it does many times in the metals markets, these markets have big, powerful, unbelievable rallies that are directly related in many cases to world events and news. And then at some point they end, and then they go down. They slowly just work their way down for decades. They don't go down all at once. I mean, you can't, you know, every time it's going to be different, and the markets are as big as life, and they're not a fixed, closed system. But the history has shown that they will tend to go down for decades. And while they're going down, people become bullish and bearish and all the things. Just as goes to show, though, you can be in a position believing that you're right, and then the market goes lower and lower, and you don't know how to take a loss. You could be in that in decades if you're doing that with gold. You could be holding on for a long, long time. And of course, if you do that, and if you do hold on for a long time, you'll be so tormented by that position that by the time the gold finally does bottom and come back up, you'll just be grateful to get out of at a break even, and you won't be in for the big run, because that's how the psychology works. The longer you suffer with a losing position, it's almost a mathematical equation, the worse you're going to trade in the future. That's just how it works. If you hold a losing position for 10 minutes, well, okay, and if it goes against you, not using a stop, and then you get out, fair enough. But the longer you hold it, the more torment that puts in you, and psychologically, the worse you're going to trade when new indications come up later. For somebody that holds a position for decades, you know, if he's wrong about a position, and he bought the physical metal, you know, and it goes down, well, guess what? You know, he's not going to trade very well. When it gets up, he's going to be very happy to get out with a break even. He's going to do everything wrong. And that's one of the really big reasons why, not only to protect your capital, but to protect your psychological capital, your internal capital as well. Most people might not think that way, but your psychology is a really big part of how well you approach and how well you do in the markets, right? Because you're, if you're not feeling well about yourself, if you're not feeling well about relationships you're in, and any number of other things, it can throw you off. And by holding on to losing positions, you're damaging that capital that you have, and it causes you to act differently and erratically. And, you know, it's just, you shouldn't be in the game if you can't manage your the risk side of this. I mean, anybody can manage the gain side to some extent because the market's running in their favor. But you can even mess that up as well, as we all know. So you do want to think of your capital in the bank as capital or in your trading account, but you also want to think about your psychological capital as well. And don't do things that are going to cause you to tie up that capital in worry and in fear so that you end up just trading terribly, because when you're in those states, you will not do the right thing.
And then it'll feel like capital punishment of the mind.
That's right. That's good. Capital punishment of the mind. So this gold trade that we put out yesterday did run to its number, and they reversed off that. We may have another one coming out either later today or tomorrow. And the bond trade does have higher prices. This is the 30-year U.S. Treasury bond.
Was today the first official bond trade that Bert had emailed out to the subscribers?
No. No, we've sent out other ones. There's been one or two other bond trades. I did mention on your program that we didn't send this out, though. We did mention your program that several days ago was one day late for a bottom in bonds, and that was the on-time day was the April 7th, and then one day late was 8, and that we were looking for a sizable advance off that. We're still inside that advance, and inside that advance today gave us the signal that the market would go much higher. The initial run was going to be 24 ticks off today's low, and that brings you up to 119.16. And so you could take 119.16, just a minute here. And then the next target on the upside is 119.28, and today's high has been 119.26. And finally, the final target, I believe, in that is 130.07 or something. 130, the next level up. I get confused on T-bonds because it's done in 32 seconds. But anyway, so they did the move. I mean, I'm happy. Listen, even though we missed it because they popped right after, you know, Burt got the indication, the fact is that this helps confirm for us that the T-bonds are doing what we would call normal behavior. So that's good. Anyway, so now, do you want to talk about the S&P a little bit?
Well, yeah, and I want to say this, guys. We, a couple minutes ago, we said watch carefully 1305, 5.25, because that was yesterday's low, and it could give a nice bounce, and we're at 1307.5.
Right. Now, yesterday we had 1306 and 1304 as the final downside targets, and that is another reason why the market should hold those levels here today. If they don't, fair enough. We're very close to a daily bottom in this market, so we do want to be ready to reverse if the market gives us the indication to do so. And this is that type of indication, this test that we're doing right now. Today's session has shown somewhat unusual behavior. They've done some unusual things, which normally really precedes. So although that does sometimes mean you have to take a small loss, you've learned something. You found out that the market's behavior is unusual, and that can tell you that something much bigger is about to happen, and that's exactly what I think is happening in the S&P, where we have a daily bottom being put in, and that daily bottom is, as I mentioned to you yesterday, there was the on-time day in the S&P 500, the large contract was yesterday. The on-time day for the E-mini is today. April 13th. So really, April 13th plus or minus a day is the on-time day, the period for a very important bottom here. I wouldn't be surprised to see the market, and I mentioned this yesterday, it's not an outright forecast, but for the market to do the 1299 to 1300 level, that would not be at all a surprise, and that may be what they need to do prior to reversing here. We'll see. But we're very close
now
to
this advance could be pretty substantial. Correct?
It could be. Yes, it could. It definitely could be pretty substantial. We do have, you know, we did do a nice weekly run-up, so this the reversal here itself could also be pretty substantial, and even though we get a nice bounce. But, yeah, I would definitely expect the advance to be very tradable and very usable on the upside, or very potentially profitable on the upside. So we'll wait and see if they have, because of today's unusual behavior, I want to give them a chance a little bit further here to try to go to slightly lower prices here. And so, you know, possibly attempting between today and tomorrow that 1300 to 1299 level, just in case that's something in their mind, because there is something at that number. It's not an outright forecast like gold or T-bonds, but it is something just in the back of our minds that we might want to keep in mind. As we watch, you know, the market trading today. So,
well, we've got a sell signal coming up here on the ES and the NQ as well. Not
okay.
For a major move, but for a potential move to back down to test that low again. Or, you know, Mike brought up that 1300 number. You just brought it up. So, yeah, we don't have anything on our stuff to put us long right here. Not yet. Other than just for that little bounce that we caught off the bottom, mm-hmm. if somebody wanted to trade that, nothing more significant has developed.
Okay. So really, let's just let them put it in here a little bit. Let me take a look at one other thing. And today's behavior is a little unusual. So far, it's been a trend day down, but it's not unusual in the sense of how markets act around bottoms. Where they can be, you know, this is an important time for putting a bottom
in. In what way was it unusual for you?
It was unusual because several ordinary turning points that would occur lasted for a very short period of time. Like as an example, we had in today's session, one moment here, let me, I'll bring it up on my chart so I can point it out to you here.
Okay.
We had some turning points that occurred earlier in the session that held for a very short period of time and then were moved through, mm-hmm. where normally they would have a bigger reaction off that.
Okay.
And the bottom that was put in around 11 o'clock with if you just look at a 15-minute chart or a 10-minute chart with a big candle that looked like it was firming up there. That was one such bottom there, and then they reversed and broke to new lows. So this is the type of behavior that is associated with trend days, number one. And number two, it's somewhat unusual because the market would normally have held that bottom that you see on your, say, 10 or 15-minute chart that we made three or four bars ago. That bottom would have held much better than that under normal conditions. So they broke down, they retested yesterday's low. There's nothing wrong with the retest of yesterday's low. It's how they got there and did it that was somewhat unusual. In short, just the way they moved through, how easily they moved through bottoms that would normally have held for longer, even if subsequently they wanted to go lower, normally those bottoms would hold for longer than that. And so that's what's unusual about today's. And they did that two times today. So there really is something going on with the market here. And this is the unusual behavior. We've talked about this before, a big move. The markets get tricky before bigger moves. So don't be discouraged by that. Let that be a new piece of information that you now can say, I had to buy it, maybe. You know, maybe you had to take a loss on a trade, but I now purchased some new information that will let me trade the next move better. Rather than being upset or angry over it, use the positive side of it, which is that you now have new information, which is that, you know, there is something going on here, and there is going to be a bigger move coming. And the move is going to be on the upside because of the market's trying to put in a bottom here. So we'll see how we can do it. They're trying to firm up right now off of that bottom. Now, you may be selling against that, but I'm looking, personally anyway, I'm looking for more evidence of that bottom so that I could be bullish and be long here, because I know there's a bigger time frame that's putting in. More important thing is happening on the downside here. Has your stuff triggered on the short side?
For the short side, it almost. It would be 1307.50.
Okay.
Sell on a limit 1307.50,
okay.
And the target would just simply be back for a test of the low. You know.
Okay.
I mean, a person could stay in longer, but I mean, just a little short term trade there.
Mm-hmm. No, that's good. That's fair enough. That is fair enough. Okay, so let's see if there's anything else we can talk about. All right, we already talked about the bonds. The euro.
Hey, were you tuned in at the beginning of the show today?
I was a little bit, yes.
Did you hear our new fancy schmancy intro?
I did.
I'm telling
That's
you.
Just a,
we
an
sound
amazing
very
thing.
Professional. We're going to have to start. I had to start combing my hair and everything.
You've got,
I get on
you've
the
gotten
radio.
Better at. I mean, maybe you knew this before, but your production skills are improving. You know,
I just know how to
really
hire better
funny
people.
Records. When I say something, you pick really funny records or old songs to match it up. That's kind of new and neat. You know.
I'll say something funny and I'll find one.
No, if I had something funny to say, I would. But some days there's funny is just not to be had. You know. Let me take a look here. Gold.
Well, that was really a spirited discussion we got into yesterday. I don't know how we got down that silver thing, but it was...
We got down it because I heard the conspiracy in your voice.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And you know what? I just got the hillbilly in me. I got all worked up, man, because, you know...
It's you know, that is what it does. It works people up. It really does. And I'll believe in anything. I really will if the evidence supports it. But I don't think in that particular case the evidence really supported it, because... our government does allow people to have things and all the stuff we talked about yesterday. And listen, for those of you who don't think the way that if you were listening yesterday, for those of you who think differently, go buy the gold. Go back yourself with gold. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I don't mean that sarcastically.
No,
available to you. Go pick up gold. It's on a free market basis. It can be bought at whatever the market values it at, and it's available along with any other metals that you may want to buy. It is interesting also that, there's a lot of objects, things that you can buy that have inherent value. Now, gold is one of them. So one of the arguments, one of the things that Dwayne was mentioning yesterday is that the dollar is not backed by gold. And so the dollar is a piece of paper that we all believe in, and it's not backed by something real. There's other things that are real that don't have paper necessarily. As an example, a home. I mean, it has a piece of paper which is called a title, but the title is the piece of paper, and the home is the thing that backs it. So Dwayne's complaint is it's like we're trading titles, but there's no homes to back them up.
Yeah.
Because your home has a title. So we're out there handing pieces of paper to each other that are called titles, trading in them, so to speak. But what if there's no home behind it? Then why are we doing that? That's really what he was saying, more or less. The idea that the government was not wanting, you know, they left us with these flimsy pieces of paper because they don't want us to have anything, when the truth is that piece of paper can be used to buy virtually anything. And other types of conspiracies that come out regarding the government is they did this, they did that, they did this, they did that to get money. Well, if the money's so worthless, why are they doing all these conspiracies to get what they know they gave to the little people as worthless pieces of paper? We can, in fact, use those papers to go buy anything we want. But Dwayne's real position is that, you know, like I said, if you have a title to a home and you're trading in those titles back and forth, it'd be really helpful to have a home behind them, you know, because otherwise they're just worthless pieces of paper. And so, you know, we all get that's where he was coming from, I think, in saying that. And again, my argument is that those worthless pieces of paper are even what governments go after. They're interested in those worthless pieces of paper, even though they're the printers of them, because they can, in fact, buy you virtually anything. You can't point to anything I can't buy except love, because money can't buy love. Dwayne, that's your cue.
I want to
go search out that song.
I was way off.
That was way off.
I got to say, it's probably obvious that today I took my blood pressure medication before the show.
Very good.
As opposed to after. Yeah, I'm just kidding.
And I took my what's the medication that makes you the antipsychotic? I don't know, whatever it's called. There's some medication.
Oh, the one that makes you go. Oh, what is that stuff called? Everybody started taking it at one point.
Yeah. It was really popular. I mean, it was practically, people were bonging it at parties. I don't know. I can't remember what it is. Somebody will know.
Not Valium. The other stuff. It was the big major
the big
psychotic.
I can't think of it either.
It came out, and then the side effects were just absolutely horrible.
Right. Exactly.
Worse than the actual problem. Thank you, guys.
There you go. No, you did real good.
Hey, you know what? Even though these guys, the Rolling Stones are still on tour. These guys, the Beatles, sold like 10 times as many albums last year as the Stones. Mm-hmm. I mean, they continue to be this incredible. I mean, and the Stones are certainly nothing to sneeze at. Mm-hmm. I mean, their earning power is huge, but I mean, there just won't ever be another Beatles. I don't. Thing, at least.
Well, they certainly, you know, they were the breakout. That was the initial breakout to all the music we apparently have now, you know. The rock and roll era began with them. It's a hard act to beat, you know.
You know, and the first hit that they had, it plus or minus one note, we might have never heard of them.
Yeah, exactly. No, that is so true. We're talking about the drugs real quick and the side effects. I was just, because I read what my mom takes, you know. I mean, every last one of them has side effects worse than the original thing that they're solving. You know, stop taking Boniva and tell your doctor immediately if prophesied biblical events, including but not limited to the appearance of the four horsemen, occur. You know, it's just like, wow. No, you know.
They do. They just go on. It's like, and you're trying to convince me to take this stuff?
Yeah, but in most cases they don't cause that. In most cases they do
what
they
they're
do help
supposed
people.
To
just,
do. They help
you know.
Yeah,
they do help people. The blood pressure medications have a lot of side effects, and if those people in the audience that have mothers or fathers that are on them, they really do help their blood pressure. And there's a lot of natural things that help blood pressure as well that you could look at. But and a lot of people, again, it goes back to the conspiracies that you know, the AMA and all the things that are going on. But I just want to remind people, and I challenge somebody to show me that it's different than what I'm about to say. The life expectancy of man, not that long ago, was only 40 years, 45 years. That was the life expectancy of man a couple hundred years ago, okay, or a little longer back. And our life expectancy is double that now, and virtually all of that came about through ordinary medicine. It didn't come about through holistic medicine. It didn't come about through acupuncture. It didn't come about through health food. It came about through, those things helped, but the majority of the run that we took from being able to die at 45 and now live to 90 came from ordinary medicine. The AMA included, all of that stuff. Now, a lot of that stuff treats the doesn't treat the disease effectively. It treats the effects, you know, the symptoms, and rather than treats the disease. There's many, many great arguments about natural stuff and all these other things. You can make them all. But the real argument is how did we get to be able to live to 90? Through ordinary medicine. That's how we got here. And I challenge you to show me it's different. That's how we got here. I have plenty of complaints about ordinary medicine, just like most people do. But we got to being able to live to 90 years old, not through the health food industry, although the health food industry has helped. Doctors just in the 70s had absolutely no respect for vitamins at all. They just laughed them off.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're finding out that vitamins have very powerful anti-cancer properties. The latest one is vitamin D. So they've messed up a whole bunch of times, the AMA, doctors, and all that. But it's that same group that brought us from 45 years lifespan up to 90. And so don't forget that. Yes, there are people that live and they don't have quality of life. They're just being kept alive by that same medicine. But as you know, it's not going to be perfect, but we did get here through ordinary medicine. And the other fields are advancing as well. So those other fields, the health food industry and others, are getting better at isolating things that do work for you. It's the health food industry that really brought vitamins, in my opinion, to the forefront. And now the AMA does recognize them and all that stuff. Listen, I don't want to go to a hospital. I think it's one of the most dangerous places on earth.
Yeah.
I'd rather stand in the middle of an intersection and just dodge cars. I feel better doing that than, you know, being in a hospital. But I think it's a hard argument to fight that it wasn't, in fact, the ordinary medicine industry that brought us here, that got us to live this long. So there. That's for the conspiracy guys as well.
Well, no one can argue that, and it's not just been with the advent necessarily of modern medicine. It's a combination of things. But if you look back over history, I mean, if you go back a few hundred years, the average lifespan was much shorter, not just because of health issues, but because of, I mean, the way we live now. I mean, most people, especially in America now, and go to Africa, in Uganda, where we have the orphanage in Kampala, the average lifespan of a man there is still only 45.
Okay.
That's the average age. Many die much younger. You don't see, you do see some old people, you know, walking around,
mm-hmm.
but
mm-hmm.
you don't see a lot. And Pastor Chris, who runs the orphanage for us there, he's like, he's already crossed the line on the actuary table. He is, in quotes, living on borrowed time based upon the African standard. But, I mean, like pioneers that came to America and all this stuff, I mean, they live dangerous lives. They're out chopping wood and getting attacked mm-hmm. by bears and, you know, you don't hear too much of that happening in the U.S.
No, but we've made up for that, though, Duane, with ordinary accidents, car accidents kill hundreds
of thousands of
people a
year. Well, you make
a
good
point.
You know, that's
true. We've made up for all those losses, and we still live longer. And one of the big things, big reasons we live longer is because ordinary medicine took the time and trouble to understand disease. They went down to the microscopic level through technology and through hard work, and they began to understand the mechanism by which these diseases work. When you don't understand the mechanism by which it works, it's very difficult to find a cure. And so there's, you know, people back then were trying to keep those patients comfortable, but an ordinary disease that we would live through in a split second now would kill human beings. They would get measles and die from it. They would get a cold and it would become a respiratory infection and die from it.
Yeah, yeah. People.
And so medicine came along and studied the actual workings of the disease, and they were able to understand the disease. And when you understand something, you can do something about it.
It's been a long time since anybody got polio, right?
Right. So, and listen, disease is just as smart as the people who are trying to unlock its secrets. Disease is going to, you know, comes back. You know, the seven deadly plagues. I mean, they're in the Bible for a real good reason, and they come back around. I mean, in the Japanese thing that just happened, they got all of the plagues. All you had to do is just add locusts,
goodness.
And it's you know, you got them all.
Oh my goodness!
You know,
that was rough.
So,
hey, Rob, you just typed in malaria example, and I'm curious when you say malaria, because in Africa, people do still get malaria. In fact, the headmistress of our orphanage, she's been in the hospital now for an extended period of time because she has malaria. So I'm wondering, Rob, if you commented on that, because malaria still exists, we can't seem to eradicate it, or if maybe because you haven't been to Africa, you thought that we had eradicated it. Because it actually is still a problem.
He may be bringing two good points up without maybe even thinking of it that way.
Oh, yeah, okay. He says in Africa it's still there, but it's not here. Okay, go ahead.
Right. It's still there in Africa, and one of the things that we know, another thing we know about disease through ordinary medicine, is how it's transmitted. We know a great deal about how disease goes from one person to another. We don't know it all, but we know a great deal now about it, and we can protect large numbers of people from getting those diseases because we know about the nature of the transmission and all that stuff. There are still very peculiar things in medicine. Obviously, there's millions of them, and one of them is Ebola, which is the Ebola virus that you guys sometimes have out in Africa, which is a very peculiar thing. It shows up for 2 or 3 days, does completely radical things to people. We don't understand that. We know what the virus is, but we don't know even where it comes from, and on and on and on. But my point simply was that medicine, ordinary medicine, for all the bad you can say about it, it has driven step by step, pile driven its way through all of these things, and for the first time in the history of man that we can record with science, we are living the longest we've ever lived, and it's because of that ordinary medicine. So when you are thinking about the conspiracies behind medicine and how they want us all to die and how they want, you know, they're all poisoning us with airplanes and all that stuff, think twice about it before you just believe in that stuff. Because there's a lot of, one of the funniest things is that in many cases, there are, the facts are so overwhelmingly against what you're saying that you almost can't see those facts. You know, this is one of those things, because there's so many people that are against the medicine industry. There's supplements in food, or not supplements, but chemicals in food that people complain about, and then some of those are going to be bad for some people, and, you know, they're trying to kill us, they're trying to do this, they're trying to do that. You know, there's a lot of commercial things going on, meaning that there's companies that want to use these processes, you know, partially hydrogenated oils, because it helps their candy taste better, and they don't want to get rid of it, and they don't know what to turn to. They're doing it for a financial purpose, and that is correct. That's part of what our society is based on.
Yeah.
Is that, not that that's right, but, you know, that these people are trying to run their business a particular way. But my hat is off to the researchers and the people who have made huge leaps and bounds in medicine, having all the other bad things that go along with it, all the wrong kidneys taken out, all the overdoses of drugs in hospitals, take it all into stride. None of that is good, but medicine has driven through and broke through enormous barriers and brought us from 45 up to 90, and, you know, they allow you and I to live long enough so we can be in our 80s and 90s and complain about the medical industry, you know, or whatever we want to do with our time. So just think about it. When people go on the internet and they make a video out of something, it doesn't mean that they're right. It doesn't mean that they've thought everything through. They're just presenting something that's, to them, is appalling. You take a minute and think about it. Don't just jump to the conclusion because, if I may say so, somebody's on the internet with a piece of paper, which is a document, like yesterday, where the guy's reading and saying, God, look at this, they don't have to deliver this stuff. But that's true of everything that gets delivered. Soybeans, coffee, cocoa, whatever you want to name, if you read the contract, they're all going to have backouts in the contract. And this guy's reading that contract like this is an appalling scam that's underway, when the fact is that the company he's referring to hasn't had anybody lose money, because I investigated it. So he's looking at it saying this is a scam, but the evidence doesn't support what he's saying. The evidence isn't on his side.
Well, it hasn't happened yet.
No, but you can't claim a conspiracy on something that hasn't happened yet. Everybody's been happy. And by the way, one other thing. If gold does shoot up to double and these people own the certificates, the iShares go up dollar for dollar with gold. That's how they buy it. Because the share value goes up with the gold. So the question yesterday was, well, what if the, you know, they sell the guy a certificate, or he gets the certificate and he buys it when gold's at $8. Now they have to go out and deliver the gold, and it's at $60. Well, guess what? The iShares certificate's at $60 as well.
Well, it is.
Because it goes,
David,
up dollar
but,
for dollar.
The point is if they did, if let's say they, if I buy. Thank God I took my medication.
I'm glad you did, Dwayne, because we don't have to grind on it.
If you buy iShares certificates today for $30, okay, and they don't go out and buy you some silver for $30, mm-hmm. and then tomorrow silver goes to $60, and mm-hmm. then you go to the iShares people and go, you know, I think I'd like to get my $60, and they go, well, we don't have $60. Well, what do you mean? I bought these certificates yesterday for $30, and now on your website and on the internet it says that the certificate is worth $60. I'd like to get my $60. Yeah. They go, well, we didn't actually go out and buy the silver at $30 because, heck, we had no clue it was going to go to $60 overnight, and so you kind of caught us with our pants down.
I don't think that's the case. I don't think their pants are down at all.
I think I saw the movie It's a Wonderful Life. I don't know.
Well, put it this way. Gold has gone and silver has gone. It's 10 times higher than it was. Where are all the screaming people who have been burned by iShares who want to redeem their silver and gold? Where are they, and why is there nothing? Why is there no complaints going on if you go on the Internet for people who are in the situation that you're referring to? That people tend to go out and complain if it, bad news spreads like wildfire.
You can build a bamboo house on the beach in Indonesia and live there peaceably for generations until a tsunami comes along. I mean...
But, Dwayne, somebody is asked to redeem their shares. They bought them at $6 and they're now at $40.
Sure.
Somebody has asked to redeem that.
Because there's new money coming in every day. It's called a Ponzi scheme.
Well, okay, but you're assuming that they have no way out of this except a Ponzi scheme. You're assuming
I don't know if you
understand their business fully to be able to make the claim that they can't really fulfill. You're accusing a company of being a Ponzi scheme that they can't really fulfill these orders because of perhaps a misunderstanding on your part about the nature of how they acquire and distribute these certificates and the backing behind them, et cetera. So I'm not sure that I would just jump to the conclusion that everybody that's involved with iShares is in a Ponzi scheme.
If I were going to go into the used car business and people came to me and said, and I'd like to, they probably would actually want a car. You know, I couldn't just do transactions up in the front office or the back office and sell cars all day long. Eventually, somebody's going to want delivery. They're going to go, hey, you know, I think I'd like to actually drive the car I bought. I mean, mm-hmm. Here's my point, is if they actually went out and bought the silver to cover what people are buying, silver wouldn't be at $30 today. It would be at $300 or more because there's only when God created the heavens and the earth, he put a certain amount of gold in the belly and a certain amount of silver in the belly of the earth and all the other stuff, and some of it's been mined, some of it's still in the belly of the earth, but of what's been mined so far, there is a finite supply. So what they're doing is they're creating an infinite amount of paper. They'll sell you all the shares you want, but yet there's only, but it's backed up by a finite supply of silver. There's only this much silver, we're just going to print them shares all day long.
People don't buy the iShares with the purpose of converting it into gold. They buy the iShares because they don't want to own the physical metal. They buy the iShares so that they can participate in the movement of gold and silver in the form of a share of stock. That's why they're doing it.
I understand. And people are in and out. We have one of our listeners yesterday. He typed in. He's like, well, you know, I just trade this thing like intraday or swing trade it, and should I not be doing that? And, you know, probably a lot of people misunderstood me yesterday, and I'm not trying to say that it's not a fair trading vehicle. I can understand why somebody would have completely misunderstood me. I'm just saying that when the music stops, there won't be enough chairs for everybody. That's all I was saying.
Yeah. I don't know that, and just to counter that, I don't know that when the music stops, iShares people want their gold. I think they simply want to sell their iShare because they bought a share rather than gold so they could participate in a share format. The people who want to participate in a metal format buy the metal.
But don't you understand they won't have the money to pay the people? Where are they going to get this money? Where will they get this money from?
The iShares themselves have a secondary market, and there's a market for iShares. And if I own iShares today, I can sell my iShares today on the market. I sell them. Now, if you're going to say in the end, if you're going to bring apocalyptic endings in and say that at the apocalyptic ending, when everything just crashes and burns, yeah, everything's going to crash and burn, but there's many, many other things going on at that time. If you're just going to bring the final ending in and say, well, when the music stops, the music's on. And listen, if it really was, if what iShares was doing was a true Ponzi scheme, then you would have to name just about every other form of contracted future delivery the same. Because farmers are going to have to grow soybeans, and there's only so many years that are going to be good years for soybeans, and people contract for as many of those as they want. When you go buy thousands of contracts on soybeans, you can buy as many of them as you want, up to the limit, whatever the limit is. That doesn't guarantee that there's going to be soybeans coming out of the earth for them to deliver it, does it?
I agree. I agree.
Could you not make the same argument with any other form of thing? And if you're going to say, if the whole music stopped right now, I can make your argument. Okay, if the whole thing stops right now, party's over, music ends, no more farming, yes, then there's no soybeans there to deliver. But that's imposing a whole new condition on the normal business, which is that everything just stops. And yet, when everything just stops, then it's all over. It's all over for everything. You know, and by the way, one other thing that I think is an important point, has nothing to do necessarily with this, is that just because a thing has inherent value, like a bar of gold or a home, it doesn't mean that it's not subject to fluctuation itself. We talk about these things like, well, the dollar doesn't have a gold behind it because they wanted us to have the worthless paper, but gold itself at some day is going to trade down to $1. It itself is going to be very, very low in value, even though it's very high now. So the very thing that you're backing the worthless paper with itself fluctuates.
I agree. In fact, I've often sat down myself and said, even though I am part of the, you know, hive mind that says hard assets, gold and silver, you know, I have a belief in that concept. There's also the part of me that sits down because I, unlike some of my dear friends, I listen to this American Life episode of Where Money Comes From, or whatever the name of it was. But long before that, I sat down and thought, you know, this whole gold and silver thing, that in itself is just a concept. It's just an idea. It could be seashells. It could be tulips. I mean,
listen, in the old days, it was sugar and salt. If
I'm hungry, how much good does a bar of gold do me if I'm on a desert island and I got a bunch of bars of gold and I'm hungry? It doesn't do me a bit of good.
Right.
If I get sick, it can't make me feel better. Yeah.
That means that you would at least tentatively agree that it's an agreement that we all have that gold has value. It may be like in that Twilight Zone where the robbers steal all this gold and they have this machine that they go into and it puts them to sleep for 100 years. And so that's how they stayed away from the police. And then 100 years later, they get up and they have all this gold and they're walking along trying to get people to, you know, to buy things. And people are just laughing at them because gold completely went away. It's just worthless. It means nothing. It's like tin foil to the world at that point. So, you know, ultimately, the very ground you stand on is changing. The very thing that you say is valuable today won't be valuable tomorrow, on and on and on. It's just as well that, you know, everybody agrees right now that the dollar is worth whatever it's worth. Its value goes up and down, obviously, as well. The dollar itself goes up and down in value. Everything is in fluctuation. So to put your foot down and say, well, this is the thing that's going to back this thing, that very thing itself is in fluctuation. And I think we can all agree that it could have well been seashells, and if it was the old time, it could have been salt, sugar, and spices, which had great value. Now, what if those people came back and said, well, I'd like to buy this car. I've got a ton of sugar right here. The guy'd say, you know, that doesn't do anything for me anymore. It's kind of like that. It could be that way someday with gold, et cetera. The bottom line is just to, you know, not worry yourself too much about it. The dollars that you have in your pocket will buy you food. They will buy you gold. They will buy you homes. They will buy you cars. They'll buy you anything you want. They just won't buy you love. There you are.
I uncued it. That would have been a perfect time to play it again.
That would have been perfect timing. You're pretty good, though. You got it up pretty quick last time there. Okay, so let's see. So, Dwayne, before we get off on any other tangents, and you sound surprisingly calm and well-controlled today.
Thank you. Rob did make a good comment, you know, that the music does stop from time to time, as it stopped for Lehman and Bear Stearns.
It does. It stops. It stopped for the housing market.
Yeah.
People say, "No, I don't want to put my money in something. I want to put my something in something substantial, like a home." Well, your home just got cut in half. I wish it was just cut in half. All of that stuff happens. That is correct. It all is in fluctuation, and sometimes the music does stop. Especially for a company, sometimes stocks themselves go out of business. They go to zero. I mean, any number of things can happen. You're not going to find perfect security in this world. You know, the security you're going to have to live with is you have to understand that it isn't perfect, and it doesn't need to be perfect. You just need to be able to make your way through, you know, and you can do that. It doesn't have to be absolutely perfect. And everybody who comes up with a plan of some kind isn't necessarily trying to do that to hurt or kill other people. Some people really are trying to come up with plans that really work, and there are people who are vindictive and bad, and we have the whole other side of the earth is filled with dictators who want nothing more than to, you know, oppress their people, etc. It just so happens that America is at the forefront of, or used to be anyway, before this administration, of countries that was really interested in making sure that that didn't happen in other countries. Of course, we've let it go for so many years, but the fact is that we are trying to, even now, even under this administration, we're trying to spread freedom to those worlds, and I'm sure there's people that believe that in spreading that freedom, that's really because we want the oil, and you know, on and on and on, and there is definitely a component there. All of that plays into it, but it's not all evil, and it's not all bad, and it's not all cloak and dagger, and all oppression. We are the freest people on the place on the face of the earth, Americans. We have the lowest tax system, the highest rate of productivity, or at least recently, up to recently did, the greatest number of people who are wealthy and middle class than any other country. This country is not trying to screw all of their people out of things. Look around the world, and I'll show you plenty of countries who are. And instead of trying to find the little bad things that you can say, well, this is an example of that happening, why not take full advantage of the good things that are happening? Why not take full advantage of the good faith and credit of America and go do something with your life, whether it's trading or making your family better, whatever, because you're not going to find a better place to do it than this country, because this country, even today and even under this administration, is the best country, in my opinion, in the world. The freest, the wealthiest, the most innovative, etc. So Japan's not bad either. You know, there's a lot of countries that are very good and they do their things. It's very crowded there. But for the kinds of freedoms that we have, especially the kinds of freedoms when it comes to freedom of press, freedom of religion, freedom of, all the stuff that we have freedoms to do.
If we only had free will.
If we only had free will, we could take advantage of all this good stuff. That's one of the downsides, is none of us have that. So why bother with America? That's what I've been saying. I'm a real fan of America in spite of all the bad. You can always point out the bad and all the stuff that's gone on, and there's been terrible things, and there continues to be. But boy, in 220 years, we have made serious progress. 240 years, whatever it's been. There you are.
I gotta get better at queuing these up. We have to practice.
Gotta go for it there. So, Dwayne,
you
I think
what's
well,
can
that,
you name
that
this
covers...
song? Can you name it?
Yeah, I hear it.
Can you name it?
I can't name it.
Who can name that song? Okay, too late now, guys. Helter Skelter. That was Paul singing at atop the Ed Sullivan Theater. It wasn't the original, so that's probably why you couldn't tell. But, there you go, Helter Skelter. I don't know why I decided to play that, but it somehow seemed appropriate like 5 minutes ago.
There you go. Anyway, so Dwayne, really, for the S&P, let's just kind of recap here really quickly. Okay. The S&P is very close, if not already, at a daily bottom, so at least in our work. And so we're looking for, and I think the listeners should take a look at their own stuff and start taking long entry signals when they are given, so that there can be some, you can make some money on the upside. The money might be worthless in one viewpoint, but people will still accept it, and they'll give you products for it. And until the whole thing shuts down and just stops, we can have a lot of fun.
Yeah. So you're not looking for any further decline from here? Because, see, I'm still...
It looks a little odd to me today, to be honest with you.
I'm not quite ready to get long yet. I'd like to see it come down and test that low again. We get one more swing down on my cycle indicator. Something just doesn't feel right about getting long right here, which, you know, could mean it's like the perfect place because, I don't know, it doesn't feel right, so I'm not going to do it. So.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Just wait for you. And nothing. Maybe your signals have not gone long yet. Maybe there's nothing to do here yet. But I'm just saying, just as we get to, you know, today is the on-time day for the ES, so we still would have one day late, and we could be substantially lower, et cetera. And today's unusual behavior, as it always has, it gives me pause. So I'm waiting as well. So we'll wait and see. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, if we pull back down to test the lows, then I'll be ready to get long. Or if from here we can get above 1310 and hold above that for a couple candles on my 10K chart, then I'll consider a long. But right now we would be trading like right into a weekly zone, and I don't. Yeah. And that could be the trade, but I'm just not, you know, it's not for
fair
me to take
enough
right now. All right.
Yeah. No, that's it has to be for you. You have to trade, you know, according to your own lights and all that. So I think that's it. Now, listen, for those of you who, for the listeners who have not, who may not know about it, they can go to Bert at Daniels Trading. You can give the phone number out. Daniels Trading will give you, if you give them their email address, you can get on a list and get the free trades that we gave out, including yesterday's gold for a 17-point move up, today's bond market trade. Those trades are given out for free right now, and they will be for some time yet. So you might as well take advantage of those if you are interested. You don't have to buy anything. At some point, Bert, the broker, will ask you to open an account there. You won't have to open an account there. If you say no to him, that you're already happy with your broker, he'll say fine, and you can still continue to get the trades. So you can trade them anywhere you want, but just, you know, out of, you know, if you want to, because they're being sourced from there, you might, you know, trade them there. It's up to you, though, completely. So, and then at some point, we'll be charging for those trades. You know, we'll have a product, a reasonable price product at the end. But I want to put a bunch of these. We're still working on putting markets together, so we have literally as many trades as we can every day for these larger moves, not just intraday, but for 1 or 2 day swings, where it would be really fun to be, you know, making some much bigger gains in the markets.
Did you talk about beans yet?
I haven't. Let's see.
Alan asked if you got anything on beans.
Let's take a quick look at beans. See, what was the last thing we had? I think, if I'm not mistaken, April 13th, plus or minus a day, was supposed to be a bottom in beans. In our bean report, I don't have it right up in front of me, and I'm sorry if I don't have it right. But because today is April 13th, and yesterday it appears that it may have come in one unit early, we're going to be looking for long entries from beans. This move, if we're correct about it, and I haven't done all the work on this yet, but this would be definitely a tradable move, a very tradable move off of yesterday's low, you know, bringing the market perhaps up to 13.46. Well, let's see, where did they go today? Oh, well, isn't that funny? They already did the initial target today. So we don't have a direct forecast other than that the April 13th bottom for soybeans. So I would be looking for long positions in this as well. I've mentioned before, and I just want to say, it's very interesting that a lot of these dates coincide. Markets coincide in these dates. And the April 13th bottom for the S&P, the soybean bottom, you know, a lot of the stuff, the bottom that we call today in the bonds, it's interesting, a lot of them tie together. And you can use that information, if you are watching a number of markets, to help you know that there really is something big and important happening when many different markets coincide on these turning point dates. So there's at least three of them here, maybe more, that are coinciding. So I would be looking at beans for something on the long side. Today is the on-time day for a bottom, it appears right now that it may have occurred one trading day early. And normally we would have a sizable advance off this, more than we've already had. So it is tradable to the upside. So I hope that's helpful. It's not a direct, you know, outright forecast for anything, but it's at least a forecast for the bottom. And so, Dwayne, I think for today we've covered a lot of ground as well. Mm-hmm. You were very reasonable today.
We had
a nice discussion.
I tried. So
I know you did well. I think everyone will agree, and I did pretty well, I think, myself.
Oh, you
as
did
well.
Great. Here's that pullback on the ES. Okay, now
even keeled.
Yeah, no, you did really good. Still, never thought of the name of that psychotic medication that
I know.
Was
I can't
taking.
Think of it either.
I had a bunch
the
of guys
most
working.
The one that everybody takes. Everybody was taking it for a while.
That's why nobody will type it in, because they're all taking it. It's the one. I had several guys working for me that were Vietnam vets, and they were all taking it, and mm-hmm. it really messed them up. This was in late 90s, early 2000, 2001. Mm-hmm. God, what was that stuff called?
As soon as I would hear it, I would know it immediately, but
Prozac.
I can't remember.
Prozac, there we go. Thank you, GP.
Prozac, there you are. That's the drug. Yeah, Prozac. Yeah, just a waterfall of side effects.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I saw some of the side effects in some of the people, the rage and just the, I mean, it was not, yeah. I don't think they dispense that so freely anymore.
Well, anyway, well, Dwayne, listen, thank you for having me on.
You betcha.
Thanks for the listeners. Thank you for your comments and things today. And let's see, today's Wednesday, so we'll put it together tomorrow. We do have a webinar, I just want to mention quickly, today. You can go to our site, pagetrader.com, go to the blog page, and sign up for our webinar today, which covers reflected wave, which is how we're calling these turning points. We do have a few seats, actually two right now, left for the June 4th seminar. And we actually held those for somebody that wasn't able to come, so they became available again, and that's so you can come to the seminar today if you have an interest in it, and just listen to what we're doing with reflected wave. It's a turning point methodology that allows you to call tops and bottoms, and using it on multiple time frames, you can do a lot of very clever things with it. You can even forecast where prices are going to go, which are some of the things that we do here using reflected wave on breakouts and other things. So it's a very, very usable technique. It's something that I've been using for 15, 16 years now, and everyone who I've ever spoke or ever taught it to still uses it as their main indicator for turning points. So, and that goes back 15 years. So how many things have you used, you know, for that long? Many of you haven't traded that long, but it's that good. It's that usable. So if you have an interest, just come to the webinar. There's nothing to buy. There's nothing.
PageTrader.com, and then go to the blog.
Right. Go to the blog page, and it'll show you the setup and the link to get into today.
And the time is?
1:30 Pacific time, which is 3:30 Chicago time.
Okay.
And I'll be on there, and I'll be able to answer your questions as well, and I'll show you some neat things that have just happened recently with it. And so if you have an interest, show up, and we'll go from
Beautiful.
There.
Beautiful. Thanks, David.
Dwayne, thank you very much, and I'll talk with you. Look forward to it tomorrow.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, friends, that's going to wrap it up for today. 1 hour and 40 minutes of radio. I got Michael's charts up. I'm going to leave them up so that I'll have the liberty of using my big screen to do a couple of other things that I want to get done today. The charts you're looking at, the NQ on the right, as you can see, that pullback on the NQ held. On the ES, we spiked a little bit above it, and that is a 2100 tick chart that Michael is showing, the middle chart. And you'll notice that the dynamic resistance printed right in the middle of the weekly trading zone. When that happens, it tends to be pretty important. So, can you see that? You can see it, yeah. And look at the cycle indicator. Look where it's at. Okay. It can stay up there for a long time, but it won't stay up there forever. It's going to roll over. It's going to... My guess is that we will come back to test the low. If you had taken a short entry at 1307.50, that would have been a little premature on the ES. You might have gotten stopped out, depending upon the size of your stop. Market is just it's a little bit quiet right here. Now, on that 2100 tick, you can see, too, that we did trade above a trend line, and now we're testing the top of it. Okay. So this area here, we're kind of pinched up between a couple different things. But I'm going to leave Michael's charts running so you'll have access to them. You can watch. You can see how this thing unfolds. You can see if, in fact, we do come back to test the low, or if this test that we're getting on top of this trend line holds. And you'll know it's holding if we go back and trade above 1310. Okay? If we get above 1310 and hold that on a pullback, I'll be at my desk, and I will be prepared to go long. If we go back to test the low, then I'll be looking for an entry to get long from there. So whichever way it plays out, I'll be looking to trade the market long. If it ends up the market falls off a cliff and we go south, chances of me participating in that are not good. So I'm going to wait for a good long setup to come along. And other than that, we'll be back again tomorrow for more fun and games. I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in today. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace. And I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this, there is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Pastor Dwayne Reeves, and his guests. This information should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed security broker or financial planner before making any investment decisions. You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.